And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry the cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine and mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at that ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the centurion of the temple and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, four strange things about the first Good Friday. Number one, it was a dark day. Now, who knows at what time of day the sun is at its highest in the sky? Who knows that? Really? What are they teaching in your schools nowadays? Jamie O'Connell. Huh? Midday, you're dead right. Midday, give him a round of applause, because none of you lot knew. That's right. And that's why we call it midday, because it's the middle of the day. The middle of the daytime. The middle of the time when it's light. Now, midday, Good Friday, it says here the sixth hour, because they counted it from 6 o'clock when they all got up. Which, by the way, just think about that. They all got up at 6 o'clock. Lots of mums are thinking, yeah, and? The sixth hour, midday for them, sun should have been at its highest in the sky, it got dark. And not just sort of a little bit dark, not just sort of, oh, the sun's gone behind a cloud dark, not just sort of, oh, it's a bit dull today, dark, really dark. Bump into things because you can't see where you're going, dark. At midday, dark like someone turned the lights out on the whole world, which leaves us wondering with a question, who turned out the lights? Answer, God turned out the lights. Why? Why did God turn out the lights on the world? When God first made the world, he said, "Let there be light." And now he was saying, "Let there be darkness." Why? The Bible says to have God's face smiling at you is like having the sun shining on you. It's bright and it's warm and it's life-giving and it's good. And so if God is angry and he turns his face away from you, it's like the lights go off. And that's what God was saying. It's a dark day because I'm angry. Which leaves us wondering, another question, why was God angry? And you think, well, that's easy. It's obvious why he was angry. People were killing his son. It's obvious. That's surely why he was angry. He was angry with the people who were killing him. But that's the second strange thing. It was a sad day because God wasn't showing his anger to the people who were killing his son. He was showing his anger to Jesus, his son. As Jesus hangs on the cross, he cries out, and there's a speech bubble there on the screen, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is being punished by God Jesus is being punished by God. But does Jesus deserve it? Now, what were some of those names that you spotted Jesus being given in the passage? Anybody want to volunteer? What names did Jesus get called during that reading that we had? King of the Jews, yes, thank you. Anybody else? Christ, the King of Israel, yeah. There's one more I can think of, but Son of God, that's right, they're all there on the screen. Now, they're all different ways of saying the same thing, that Jesus is God's special chosen king. Why is God angry with him? He hasn't done anything wrong. Why is God angry with him? The truth is, Jesus was being punished for our sin. A sad day, but don't feel sad for Jesus. Feel sad about your sin. Don't feel sorry for Jesus. He was doing this on purpose. Feel sorry about our sin. You see, we sometimes think maybe sin doesn't matter very much. Oh, God's not really bothered when I don't do what he says. And God's not really bothered when I'm not loving towards other people the way I should be. God isn't really that bothered when I do things that are bad, because they're not all that bad, are they? Well, Good Friday says, our sin is so bad, it takes the death of the Son of God to clear it away, to wipe it away. A new day, that's the third thing. A new day, because the next weird thing about that first Good Friday was that God tore down the curtain in his own house. The temple was where God lived with his people, but because God is so very, very, very perfect, and we are so very, very, very not, but in actual fact sinful, there was a big divider, a big curtain. Curtains normally stop light coming in, don't they, in our houses, or they stop other people that we don't want to look in, looking in. Well, this curtain stopped people coming in to the bit of the temple where God was most present. But just as Jesus dies, that temple curtain gets torn down from top to bottom. It was very, very high, so it wasn't a human being doing it. It was as if God's invisible hand ripped the curtain in two. God tore down the curtains in his own house. Well, why? Now, when we open the curtains in our house, it's because a new day has begun, isn't it? We're like, well, you know, let's let the light in. Don't need those curtains anymore. It's a new day. And this was as if God was saying, it's a new day. It's a new day. We don't need those curtains anymore. Jesus has died. Those who trust in Jesus are forgiven. So come on in. Come on in. There's no need for you to stay away. Welcome, everybody. Which means Good Friday is finally a good day. Now that's obvious, isn't it? We knew that. But why is it a good day? Well, for all those things. Because it was dark. Because it was sad. As God showed his anger, not to us, or to the people who were killing Jesus, but to Jesus. And Jesus willingly took it. And because it was a new day, where people could find forgiveness and welcome into God's family. And the first person who did that, who said to God, yes, I'll take up that offer of welcome in, was probably the most unlikely person ever to do it. It was a centurion. As he stood there and he watched Jesus die, and he said, surely this man is the Son of God. It was a good day for him, the centurion. He wasn't probably wasn't a nice man. He was probably one of the centurions who'd nailed Jesus to the cross. He was a Roman, so he wasn't brought up knowing the Bible or going to church. And he was almost definitely a tough man, a trained killer, no doubt. And yet he believes and joins the family. And that leaves us thinking, if someone like him can have a good day on Good Friday, if he can be welcomed in, if someone like that can be forgiven by Jesus, wow. There's no limit, is there, to who or how many Jesus can save. Wow. No sin too big. No sinner too far away. Nobody's background too bad or too good. Wow, that is a good day. If it hadn't been for Easter Sunday, maybe Good Friday was the best day. But you'll have to come back on Sunday to hear a bit more about that. Now I wonder if this is going to be a good day for you. You might be someone who has never really engaged with who Jesus is. You've maybe thought all along that you know what it's about. And for the first time you're starting to join the dots and thinking, actually I'd never thought about it like that. Well, we run a course here. It's run all around the country by all sorts of different churches. We run a course here and we're running it again after Easter called Christianity Explored. An opportunity for you to find out how you can have a good day because of Good Friday. So if that's you, why don't you pick up one of the leaflets that are there on the back. Pick up one of these before you leave. There'll be all the details on there, but a bit more about what the course is about and how you can sign up for it. Why not think about it? But what we're all going to do now is respond to what we've been thinking about in the words of our next song. I'm just looking for the musicians. We're going to sing again another song about Good Friday. And it's a song that encourages at the end to boast about it. We often don't think boasting is a good thing. When it's boasting about Jesus and Good Friday and how we can have a good day because of that, it's worth boasting about.